all the time.
He's good.
That is right. What? Okay, we can do better than that. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
He is good.
That's it. You know, it's some days you get up and it's one of those, I tripped over fuzz, or you make your own decisions and then go, why did I do that? We don't have to wander around in darkness. We don't have to second guess life because he's already figured it out. We see the light. We see him. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that can stop us. Satan, right now, this morning, you're trying all kinds of nasty stuff. Sore throats, colds, sniffles, whatever it is. Our worship leader, Steve, is in the University of Washington Hospital right now. We pray for the power of the blood of Christ to flood that room. Let him be a testimony to the nurses, the doctors. Heal him, touch him, because we've seen the light, and it's God. And no darkness can stop the light. Accident. Two things did just bump into each other, and there we have it. No, he spoke life into being. He's the Lord of all, the Lord of creation.
Lord of all creation.
God of wonders.
around our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. Early in the morning, I will celebrate the beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. Universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of all, beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, holy, holy.
God of wonders,
God of wonders, beyond our galaxy. Precious Lord, reveal your heart to me. Father, holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy.
You are holy. Your name, sing our songs to you, Lord, you're holy. We love you, Lord. Just take a moment this morning and talk to him. Talk to your Father. He doesn't want just a little bit of you this morning. He wants everything. His goodness is not going to leave you. He's going to run you down. You can hide. It's not going to happen. He wants you. You're that one sheep maybe this morning that thinks you're so lost you can't be found. No. Look up. His arms are reaching for you. He wants you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He died for you.
Yes. Yes.
Will you live for him? mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake,
amazing love that welcomes me. kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God,
God, you're so good. wants to restore what the enemy has stole from you. Because he is good. He is good. Not by ourselves can we accomplish what he has for us, but through him we can accomplish what he has through us. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Hallelujah.
Lord.
Amen.
In this house today, dear Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated if you can. Kitty. Catherine. Little behind the scenes stuff I had to take care of. I didn't want to interrupt her during worship, so. Amen. So, let's go ahead and get our announcements done. Amen. Most of you probably got a bulletin, but I'll go over it anyway. So, of course, on Wednesday nights, Pastor Steve is doing Bible study here. So, you want to be here at 6:30, and he's talking, doing a series on revival. How many of you need revival in your life? Amen. Amen. I think all of us need revival in our lives. Amen. And then, of course, Tuesdays is the women's Bible study here. I have not heard a report. It starts May 3rd. So if you need a book or you have to get a book, please see Della Shield or Kitty in the office. This month, because today is the 1st of May. Coming events, Pastor Steve has a birthday the 2nd. Mother's Day is the 8th, which would be next Sunday. Jerry Gaffney's birthday is the 10th. We have a Roadrunner potluck at the 14th here at the church at 1 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. And then that Tom Causey and Don Jones wedding on May 21st. If anybody knows them, you want to attend, you're welcome. That's the announcements for the end of the bulletin. And then after service today, we are having pastor appreciation for Pastor Steve and Miss Jerry Lynn. So there is a potluck already scheduled in the back room. Even though Pastor Steve and Jerry Lynn are not able to be here today, they're not feeling good, we're still going to do that. You're still able to bless them with whatever you want to bless them with. And so they'll be doing a little video, tape them back there and send them a little video. So even though they won't be here, they can watch it and be a part. So after service, Mexican potluck in the back room. Amen? All right. Other than that, if I can get a couple of men to bring that pulpit over here for me. Well, there's 3 men in the church.
Always willing.
Let's see if I can get all this stuff together here. Put it right down here on the floor. Got my brain ready. Amen. God is always good. So, you know that I'm going to do something a little different this morning. I'm normally more into the more known as being an evangelistic preacher. Okay? That's kind of where God has led me during my life, is to be an evangelistic type preacher. And this morning, if I can get all this opened up. This morning I'm going to do a little bit of evangelistic teaching. Is that all right? So I'm not going to yell and scream at you this morning. I'm not going to jump on the pulpits or on the chairs. But I am going to share a little evangelistic teaching. So Pastor Steve called me this morning and texted me and asked me what I was sharing on today, and I said that my title is Call to Witness. And hopefully today I'm going to present this in a way, Andy. I'm going to present this to you in a evangelical outlook, okay? So it's not going to be the normal way that you would think of teaching or sharing the gospel or telling your testimony. One thing that we have to learn as believers is that each one of us are unique. Each one of us have an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody in a way that God has purposed through you to talk with them. Okay? And so the Bible is very clear that when we give our hearts to Christ, we are called to witness. It's a command. It's not an option. Okay? If somebody wouldn't obeyed the Lord and shared the gospel with me out of obedience, then I wouldn't be here today. But a mother with three little kids and a baby crying took the time to share the gospel with me and lead me to the Lord. And so she was a mother of three, a housewife, but she did what God called her to do. She shared the gospel. She opened the door for my salvation, okay? And so are you called to witness? Yes. And so this morning I'm going to read things, and I'm going to read you this part here, and it's, we have a testimony, okay? So this is the things that I've put together. And then I'm going to read in Mark, we're going to read the story when Jesus cast the devils out of the man and into the pigs. And when you're going to think about what I'm reading here, because it's going to line up with everything that's in that story, so that your testimony will become alive in you. Because your testimony is your most valuable tool that you have. Okay? You can lead more people to Christ by your testimony than if you hand them a tract or give them scripture. Because it's a real life experience for you, and they feel the life in you coming out of you when you're sharing your story with them. And so, first of all, I'm going to give you a couple definitions, because I want you to think about some stuff when I read the story in Mark. It says, we all have a testimony. So what is a testimony? A testimony is evidence or proof provided by the existence or the appearance of something. The evidence or truth, okay? So there's evidence in my life and proof in my life that God changed me. I can look around this room and I can see every person in here, and you can see that at one point in your life, if you looked in the mirror, you changed when you got saved. God changed you. That was the evidence and the proof. That's part of your testimony. The evidence, I was transformed to the image of Christ through my salvation. That's the evidence. The proof, my life has changed from day to day and in my salvation. Every day I've changed closer to Christ. That's the proof. Okay? And then you had an engagement. Part of your salvation, you had an engagement, okay? That engagement is an arrangement to meet or to be present in a specified time to interact with one who needs Christ. That engagement, somebody brought somebody to you at a time, at a purpose, when God had arranged it for you to come to know him, right? So you had an engagement with God. You didn't even know you had the engagement, but you had it. Then you had enlightenment. Okay? You were enlightened to something beyond your own understanding, your own observations. You were enlightened. It's to furnish knowledge or to instruct, to give spiritual insight, which is the word of God, freed from ignorance or misinformation. How many of you were set free when you got saved from bad information? Amen? Because you were what? Your mind was of the way of the world. Your mind was a carnal mind, thinking of what? Yourself. What do I need to do for myself? You were in what I call survival mode. People in the world are in survival mode. They're just trying to get by every day. They have no hope. They have no direction. They're in survival mode. Every day they get up and figure, how am I going to make it through the day? Because they haven't had the enlightenment of Christ to change their aspect, to change their way of thinking, to change how they move forward in life. And then you have empower. It's to give the official authority or legal power, okay, to be enabled to let God lead you. You have to be empowered. You cannot be a born-again believer and not have the power of Christ in you to move you forward. Doesn't work. That's why there are so many people out there saying, well, I'm a Christian, but their life is dead. Because they're really not a Christian. They've really never gave their life to Christ. They only say the words that makes them feel better about their situation so they can get through the day. Because if they truly gave their life to Christ, they would be a change. They would be a change. I have yet to meet any person who truly is saved that had went through a salvation experience, not change. Have not met one. Now, I've met a lot of people that say they're Christians that don't change. But a true believer who has given their life to Christ and had that experience with Christ changes. They change. Because God is a God of what? Restoration. He restores what was stolen from you before you were saved. He restores it. He restores your mind. He restores you. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read this story because I want you to think about everything we just said. And as we go through this story, you're going to be able to start piecing together every one of these things I just mentioned to you in this encounter that God had. Remember, we had the testimony, which was the evidence and the proof, the existence, okay? We had the engagement, okay? This demon-possessed man had an engagement, met Christ on the trail, okay? And then he was enlightened because he was delivered, okay? By the power of God, he was delivered. And then he was empowered, and God, Jesus told him what to go do. So, let's see if I can get this in a spot I can see the light really well. All right, so we're going to start in verse 1. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. I think that's how you say it. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit. So he was a worldly person. He had no clue about God. Okay? He was in survival mode. He was trying to make it through the day. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken into pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tomb, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. Now, why did you think that a demon-possessed person with the power and the strength that he had because of the power of the devil that was in him, he was possessed by a spirit of power, why would he run to Jesus? Because he had an engagement, but he didn't know he had an engagement. Okay. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Remember, all demons know who Jesus is. All demons know who Jesus is. and they fear him because he has the power. I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, the unclean spirit. Then he said, then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Because he had more than one demon. Okay, that's why he was the way he was. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out into the country. Now, a large herd of swines was feeding there near the mountain. So all of the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Okay, because who has all authority? Jesus does. Christ does. They could not have went there without his authority, without him allowing that to happen. Okay? So they entered into the swine, and there about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea and was drowned in the sea. Now you think about this. Here's one man with a legion of demons, but they filled 2,000 swine. Do you understand the power that is in the world? It's something that you have to understand that you have the power over that. It's not that the devil has power, he does, but we have more power than he does through Christ Jesus. And that's where Christians fall short. They don't use the power that God has given you freely. It is yours to use against the enemy. You have to speak it, proclaim it, and announce it to the enemy, and he has to flee. So those who fled the swine fled, and they, I got to get my eyes straight here, told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was and what had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw one who had been demon-possessed and had the legions sitting clothed in his right mind. Why? Because he was restored, right? He had an engagement with the Almighty God, and now he was totally restored. He was changed. And in his right mind, and they were afraid. Remember, because they were still afraid because of what? They were looking with the eyes of the world. They were not looking what Christ had done. They were seeing things as they had already seen them. When you first get saved, people don't see you as a changed person. They see you as the person you were. It takes time for them to see you in a different way. They have to come to understanding that you have changed in Christ. And those who saw and told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine, then they began to plead with him to depart from the region. And when, this is what America's doing, they're pleading for God to leave America because of the ungodliness in America. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, now listen to this carefully, because this is where we're going. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. God gave him a command right there. Jesus gave him a command on what he should do. Now, what did he tell him to do? Go home and tell them what happened to you. Did he go home? Did he tell them, I need you to run to Bible college, run down into the temple to the priest and spend 4 or 5 years there and get to know the theology and then go tell someone? No. He said, no, you go home and tell them what happened to you. He said, go home and use your testimony. Go home and tell them your experience. Go home and let them know that you were once demon-possessed and now you are set free by the name of Jesus. That's what he's telling him to do. He wasn't telling him to go to Bible college. He wasn't telling him to go and learn all this stuff. He said, no, you go home and tell him your experience. He was called to witness. At that moment, he was called to be a witness of Christ. At that moment. He was called. It was, and Christ even gave him the commandment to do it. And so through that story, we can see that his testimony was proclaimed, that he was supposed to go tell people what he was supposed to do. There was evidence that he had changed, right? There was an engagement that he had when he came out and met Jesus. There was an engagement. He was enlightened that through his salvation, he was changed. His whole way of thinking, everything was different. And then he was empowered. The minute God gave him the commandment to go, he was empowered. He was empowered. He had the ability at that moment because of the words of Jesus Christ to do whatever he had to do. There was no second guessing about it. He could have been in the boat with Christ. He could have went with Christ and been a follower of Christ and been, maybe he could have been known as one of the disciples. But God had a purpose for him. And it wasn't to be with him. It was to be in there on that island where they rejected Christ, didn't want him there because of the power, because of who he was. They didn't want him there. So what did he do? He just left a disciple there. Could they refute anything about that man's story? Nope. They could refute and argue with Jesus, but they couldn't refute what happened. So Christ said, you stay here and go tell them what happened to you. They will see that you're not the same person. So when you speak to them, they will believe you. Because he was empowered, but he had a commandment to go and to preach the gospel. That's what his commandment was. Go tell them what happened to you. Go tell them how good God is. Go tell them how God changed your life. Go tell them how God cleared your mind. Go tell them how God healed your body. Because he was empowered. We are empowered. In Romans 10:13-17, it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him, okay? And then you're going to be saved. There's a lot of things in the Bible that direct us in how we should be as a believer of Christ, okay? And when we walk into the goodness of what Christ has for us, we start to understand that we are in charge. Okay? You are in charge, not the devil. I have control over what goes on in my life, not the devil. Why? Because I have the power of Christ that lives in me, that gives me the right and the authority to trample on the devil. Not let the devil trample on me. I have the right and authority to take control over what he's trying to do to me or what situations he's trying to create in my life. I have the authority to set him straight which way it should be. Okay? I have a book that I give out, and I've been giving it out for probably 30 years. It's called The Power of the Tongue. Okay, Hung by the Tongue. And it's a little book about this big, but if you read it, it will change how you speak. It was given to me when I was a young Christian, so I probably had it 30-something years. And that book changed how I thought and how I spoke. Because I learned the scriptures to take authority for my destination. I learned to use scripture and use the words that come out of my mouth to bring life, not death, to bring prosperity, not despair, to bring healing, not sickness. All how I spoke. All how I spoke. Because we hang ourselves by our own tongues. Because of what we say. Well, I could never do that. Well, guess what? You'll never do it. Okay? Well, I'm sick. Well, then be sick. Well, my body hurts. Well, let your body hurt. You can either speak what you need, what you desire, or you can speak what is evidence at you at the moment. I have woke up many mornings where I have to go to work, and I've worked hard back when I was doing a lot of roofing, working on roofs and working hard every day, 10, 12, 14 hours a day, going home, doing all the stuff with my kids and my family, getting 4 hours sleep, getting up the next morning at 5 o'clock and go get back on the roof. There's mornings I woke up, my body said, you do not want to do that today. Your body hurts. And I said, no, I feel fine in the name of Jesus. I'm going to go do what I need to do. I didn't lay in bed and say, oh, my body hurts so bad I can't do anything. I didn't speak that. Because that's not what God wants me to speak. God brings life into me. He brings strength into me. He gives me the ability to do what I have to do. I have to get this out of the way. Right? I got to get my stinking thinking out of the way so God can do what he needs to do through me. And it's a matter of how you approach what goes on in your life. It's a matter of how do you approach this so that you can, so that you can overcome the situation you're in. God is good. So in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17, it says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they do not believe? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? Now, who was sent in the last story? The demon-possessed man was sent. How was that island going to hear about the gospel? God used him. God sent him. God gave him a command. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of and good things. But they have not all observed the gospel from Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I could not imagine on January 25th in 1982 at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at 911 Alder Street, blue house, big picture window, green carpet, flowered couch, baby crying on this side of the room, two little kids running around making noise. I would have not conceived in my brain that morning that that would be the day my life would change. No way when I woke up that morning did I ever even have any inclination about having an engagement with God. But I did. I did. I had an engagement with God. Somebody told me. Somebody followed the Spirit and voiced through word about who God was and how God could restore my life and change my life. That was my preacher. That was my witness. She was giving her testimony. She was being a witness of Christ because she was called to do what? To preach the gospel. Other words, she was called to tell her testimony. You can take the word preach and put your testimony in there. It means the same thing. It's you telling somebody else what God did through you so he can change them. And every one of us have a story of what God did in our lives. Every one of us have a testimony of how different. If I stopped and we took the next 5 hours and started over here and every single person told about their salvation, they'd all be different. They'd all be different. Some of us in this room learned the hard way. You gave your heart to Christ, you served God, then you fell away and left God and realized how terrible the world was, and you said, Lord, please forgive me, I want to come home. And you rededicated your lives to the Lord and you came home to God, and now you're allowing God to transform you even greater than he did the first time, because you were willing and obedient to what? To listen. I'm going to tell a little story on Jenny here, because I know it's okay. So when Jenny was backslidden, not serving the Lord, I have this little book here that I've been teaching out of for ever since I got saved. It's called New Life Principles. It's a discipleship book. It's 8 lessons. It's the one I went through when I got saved, and I've used it ever since. It's great for the basic foundation of Christ to get someone going. Well, I was preaching in some Spanish churches, and I needed that translated to Spanish. Jenny wasn't serving the Lord. She was backslidden. But we would still go see her and Bruce all the time. Me and Bruce drove together to work, and I just loved on them. I didn't have to tell them they were in the world. Didn't have to preach at them. Didn't have to do nothing. All I had to do was be me. Just let the love of God shine out of me and be the loving person as Christ would be. And so I have this book. I'm thinking, I need to get this translated into Spanish. And God says, give it to Jenny. I said, what did you say, Lord? He goes, go ask Jenny to do it. I said, but you know, Lord, she's not walking with you right now. She's in the world. He said, no, I'm going to use that book to bring her back to me. And I remember the look on her face when I went to her house and I said, Jenny, I need you to translate this book into Spanish. And she gave me the look like it would knock me over, run me over with a truck. Like, how dare you come ask me to do something like that? But did God use that book? Did he use the word in the book? It was the word of God that permeated her heart. The word of God that she was translating was being permeated in her heart, and it changed her. It changed her. I had to be obedient, even though I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know why you want me to give this to Jenny. I know she speaks Spanish and she can do this, but she's not serving you. I don't know how accurate this might be. Okay? She might change some of the words. I don't know. I don't speak Spanish. You know? It's a testimony. It's a testimony of using what God has given you. Somebody has to go tell them. Somebody has to tell them. It doesn't matter how big your story is, how little your story is. When you have an opportunity to share your salvation with somebody else, you need to do it every opportunity you have. It's the greatest tool you have. The greatest tool. Because I'll tell you what, nobody on this earth can convince me that on January 25th that I did not have an encounter with God. It won't work. I know what happened to me that day. I know what happened inside of my heart. I know what happened inside of my mind. I know what happened inside of my body that day. You can't talk me out of it. It's as real as it was yesterday. That's why I remember everything about that day. And if I had about 3 hours, I could tell you how the whole day went, and you would probably be amazed what God did that day. And I've had a lot of people say, I've never heard anybody ever doing that after they got saved. But that's what God told me to do. And I just followed what the Holy Spirit led me to do. But somebody had to come tell me. Somebody had to be willing to share the good news with me. All they had to do is be willing. God did the rest. In 1 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20, it says, we are called to preach. We are witnesses. We are Christ ambassadors. When you gave your heart to Christ, you became an ambassador. Everybody say that. I am an ambassador. Guess what? Ambassadors have power. They have authority. An ambassador for the United States can go to another country and go in there, and they have authority in that country to speak and to promote what needs to be done. You have the authority as an ambassador of Christ to speak and to promote the authority of Christ. That's your right. Your right. You are that witness. You are called to share that gospel with whoever you're around. You should never be ashamed of your salvation. In Ephesians 6:20 and 19, it says that we have utterance that is given to us because we are an ambassadors, okay? And this is where Paul was saying that even while he was bound in chains, in Ephesians, when Paul was bound in chains, he was an ambassador of Christ. Because he still spoke the gospel. He still told them about what God was doing. He still opened the doors for people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. He still told them his testimony about how he was shipwrecked and how he got bit by a snake and how he was beaten and all this stuff. He was telling them constantly about what God had brought him through because he was God's ambassador. He was using his testimony. He says, even though I was bound in chains, right? Even though I'm bound in chains, I still speak Christ. I still speak Christ. I should just go there. We should just read that, the whole thing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verse 20. It says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What is that telling you? That it's your... It is your responsibility as an ambassador to speak truth. It's not an option. It's not an option. It's not saying that, okay, I'm going to make you my ambassador and give you the authority, but you can just not use it. You can just carry the name. You can just have the title. But you don't have to do anything. That's not what it says. It says that you are called to speak. You are called to witness. Okay? We are called into his service. He's not called into our service. Christians have it all wrong. They think that God needs to just be there for them to take care of their little needs, and that it's like their sugar daddy. Times are tough, they call on God. Times are good, who's God? Times get tough. Oh, Lord, I need you. Times are good. Where's God? That's not being an ambassador of Christ. Being an ambassador of Christ means that everything in your life you have given to him. You have given everything to him. And you take every opportunity to represent Christ in any form or way you can to let people around you know that he is your Savior. That he is your Savior. Remember that you were called into his service. Okay? You didn't call him and say, Lord, you need to be in my service. No, it was the other way around. You were called into his service. Through your salvation, God has given you the ability and the right to overcome the things of the world by using his authority and his power so that you can be a witness. The reason God brings you out of that stuff is so you have a testimony to tell somebody else so they can get out of it. It's the only reason. It isn't for your benefit. It isn't for the alcohol's benefit, for the alcohol, whoever's an alcoholic. God didn't deliver him for his benefit. He delivered him for the testimony that's going to benefit all the people down the road. Because if they see you can do it, they have hope they can do it. If you're hooked on drugs, if you're a drug addict, God didn't deliver you for your benefit. He delivered you to help witness to those who are into drugs so they can have hope to get out of the drugs. That's why he did it. God didn't deliver me from my situations just for me. He delivered me from my situation so I can go tell people how good God was and be a witness for him so they can get out of their situations. See, sometimes you have your thinking all backwards. You think God's doing something. Oh, God's doing this just for me. No, he's not. He's doing it so you can be a witness for him and other people. That's why he's doing it. He wants you to have a testimony. How are you going to have a testimony if he doesn't do something in your life? How are you going to be able to go tell someone how good God is if he doesn't do anything in your life? Of course he's going to do good things in your life. Of course he's going to bless you. Of course he wants to heal you. He wants to restore you because he wants you to go tell people how good he is. I never miss an opportunity to witness the gospel. I don't care where I'm at, what I'm doing, I do not miss the opportunity. And it's natural. It's so natural to me to speak about Christ just like I'm sitting here speaking to you. Just like I'm sitting at my house speaking to my grandkids. It's that natural for me to speak about Christ no matter where I'm at. Because he is my Savior. He is my Savior. He saved me from the pit of hell. Why wouldn't I want to tell everybody about how good he is? Wake up. He saved you from the pit of hell. If that's all that happens, it's better than you being in hell. At least be excited you're not going to hell. Come on. Your salvation was paid by a price. It means something. My salvation means something to me. I am not going to put my salvation in a box and hide it in a closet. If they want to put me in jail for my salvation, for my testimony, put me in jail. My salvation was paid for on the cross. It has more value than anything on this earth to me. I will forfeit everything, but I will not forfeit my salvation. Because I know what it costs for me to have that salvation. Because I spend time with my Savior. I spend time in his word. I know what he had to go through. I know what he had to endure for me. So of course I'm going to tell people how good he is. Because I want them to experience the same thing I experienced. I want them to be set free. To be empowered to live a life that is wholesome and good, and God is blessing them and God is restoring them. I want to see that happen. The only way it's going to happen is if I'm brave enough and willing enough to always tell them about it. There's no secret in my neighborhood that I'm a Christian. There's no secret with none of my customers that I'm a Christian. Okay? There's no secret with my suppliers that I'm not a Christian. Very well known, isn't it, Rick? Yep. I do not hide my salvation. I do not hide that I'm a believer of Christ. I want people to know so it opens the door for me to be able to tell them how good he is. When I was in the hospital in Bellingham, I was thankful I got to go there. Everybody said, oh, you had a stroke. It was nothing. I was there because God wanted me there so I could witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I was there. No other reason. I like going to the doctor for no reason. It's an open opportunity to witness Christ, and they can't get out of the room until I'm done talking. That's how it works. We are here as ambassadors for Christ. We are here to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20. That's the Great Commission. That's the Great Commission. It tells every believer exactly what your job is. Your job is to go out and to be a witness for Christ and to proclaim the good news to all the world. Everybody's always amazed whenever I go on vacation, I go to church. I find a church. Why? I'm on vacation. I should be able to relax. You know what? I don't think Christ takes a day off. I don't think God says, oh, Tom's on vacation, I'll just take the week off. I don't need to do anything. I don't think it works that way. It doesn't work that way. I'm called into his service. He's always doing something. Okay? So when I'm on vacation, I go find a church to go to. Why? Because it's the fellowship with the brethren. I get to be around other believers I don't know. I get to shake their hand. I get to smile. I get to tell them how good my God is. I get to tell them that, you know what? No, I serve an awesome God. I don't know what kind of God you serve here, but I serve an awesome God. My God restores me, heals me, changes me. Because I'm still giving my testimony even to believers. You know, believers need to hear the reports of what God's doing in other people's life too. You're sitting here as a believer going, well, I'm a believer. Yeah, you need to hear good stuff too. I use a lot of stories from other friends of mine, other believers, just like the one I just used with Jenny, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. I tell them, no, this is what happened to a friend of mine. I seen it with my own eyes. I know it's true. This is what happened to him. This is what happened to her. I tell them how good God is. Don't come to my house thinking you're going to watch a movie because it ain't going to happen. I don't watch movies at my house. All right, so I need to go back here to 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. I want to read this scripture, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the Great Commission, and then we will probably close this up. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ." Now, what did that just say? You must endure hardship? Really? Why? Everything is supposed to be perfect in Christ. We're not supposed to have hardship. They didn't. Did they tell you that when you got saved, you're going to have hardship? No, they told you everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be peaches and cream. Everything you need is going to be just dumped right down in your lap. Isn't that what they told you when you got saved? Just come follow Christ. He'll take care of everything. It's true. He will. But guess what? It comes with a cost. It says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Let me tell you what he's talking about with hardship here. He's talking about people ridiculing you, talking about you, and spitting in your face because they don't like the gospel. That's what he's talking about here. Okay? He's talking about you being attacked for your beliefs. That you would be a good soldier in Christ. No one engages in warfare, entanglement himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, how many of you got up in this morning, walked over to your mirror, and looked in your mirror and says, "I am a warrior for Christ. I am a soldier for the Lord"? How many of you did that? I put my shirt on. I came prepared. How many of you did that? No one. You did? You are. You are. You're the child of the Most High God. You are perfectly right. But how many of you thought of yourself as a soldier this morning? That you're going into battle? How many of you watched the movie Braveheart? Okay? He wants to be on the front line, in the front of the battle, making the charge. Right? Because everything that he is going to fight for has great purpose in his life. Everything he's going to stand up for, he believes completely to the point of death. And he's going to lead everybody to show him how much his commitment is. Well, guess what? You're that soldier. You just haven't learned how to use it yet. You're that soldier in Christ. You're called to be that soldier in Christ. You just haven't came to it here. That's why you battle. That's why you think, well, I would just rather be in the back. I just want to be in behind the scenes. You know why people say that? Because they haven't come to the realization in their own mind that they are a warrior for Christ. That's why they say that. Because they can't imagine themselves overcoming the things of the devil by using the power of God. They can't imagine that. So they struggle with it because they don't see themselves as a warrior. They see themselves, well, I just stay in the back room. I'll tell you what, these granny commandos, that everybody calls them a granny commando. I think Jerry Gaffney first started saying that. The granny commandos praying. They're on the front lines. They're on the front lines in the battle of war. In a room fighting the devil for your behalf as this body. They're praying for you. But some of us are called to be what? On the streets. In the neighborhoods. In our jobs. In our families. We are called to be that warrior. We are called to be that person that stands up and does not waver under any cost. At any cost, don't waver. If you're that soldier, don't waver. Stand up for what is right. Stand up for what God has put in your heart and do not back down from it. Don't allow somebody to manipulate you out of your salvation. Don't allow the news and the media to overtake you to where you second guess if you're even saved or if there's even a God. That's what the media is there for, to help you not think about God, to distract you from everything to do with godly things. That's why I don't have cable. Not saying you can have cable, I don't care. You can do whatever you want. But for me, I know what I need to do. I know where my calling is. I know what my personal conviction is. And my personal conviction is going to be different than someone else's personal convictions. But everybody should have a personal conviction towards the things of God that they don't waver from. That you do not waver from the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you always stand firm in your testimony of who God is, how God delivered you, and where God's taking you. Because God's taking you somewhere different than you were yesterday. Amen. God's restoring you more than he did the day before. Yes. God's changing me every day. Doesn't matter if you've been saved for 5 years, 20 years, 100 years. It does not matter. God has an opportunity for you every single day to move you into an area that he needs you to be. Right. And all you have to be is say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. And age does not matter. I hear all these people, I'm retired. I'm going to retire. How do you retire from salvation? Someone please explain that to me, because my brain does not compute that. It's like, well, I'm retired. I don't do that stuff anymore. Really? Is there like a retirement window in Christianity that you just get to sit in purgatory for a few years until you die? Is like God like put you on hold? I don't understand that concept where people say, well, I'm retired now. You can't retire from your salvation. Okay? It don't work, does it, Gary? Don't matter. You're either saved or you're not. You're either doing God's will or you're not doing God's will. You're either believing God has something for you or you're not believing God has something for you. You're either trusting in God or you're not trusting in God.
Amen.
That's right. Then you get to retire in glory. Okay? But as long as your feet are on this earth and you're breathing this air that God has provided for you to breathe, for your body to still live, guess what? You're not retired in Christ. You might be retarded in Christ for not doing the right things, but you're not retired in Christ. Okay? I would rather be busy for the Lord than to be sitting around doing nothing. Okay? That's right. So I want to go back to, I'm going to close with this. We're going to go back to Matthew 28, to the Great Commission, 18 through 20. Because this is really where we need to be. We have to understand a couple things about Christianity. We have the, everybody say, I have the authority.
I have the authority.
You have what?
I have the authority.
You have the authority. Keep that in your mind. You have the authority. It is given to you. It is a free gift from the Lord when you got saved. He said, here, you're my child. Here's your authority. Now go use it. In verse 18, then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Who has all authority in heaven and earth? So who controls everything? Not the devil. Did it say that the devil was any part of that authority? Did it even mention the devil in that scripture? No, because he does not have authority over Christ or you. He does not have authority. It says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, here is your marching orders as a soldier. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and that I am with you always, even to the end of the ages. Making disciples. Okay, how many of you in here feel like you're a disciple of Christ? Raise your hand. So how do you make another disciple? People think, it says make disciples. Gary makes disciples every day at the mission. The church makes disciples every day. I make disciples every day. You know how I make a disciple? I tell them about God. I teach them God's ways. That's all I have to do. Whether they obey him or not is not up to me. Okay? It's not up to me if you don't obey God's word. It's my responsibility to teach you God's word, to show you God's word, to be an example of God's word. And then if you choose to follow me, to follow what God has for you, you become a disciple. Okay? But if you choose not to, that's your choice. That's your choice. You don't have to follow this word. If you want to gamble with your salvation, then don't follow the word. Don't be obedient. Go ahead and live your life. Go ahead and do the things that you think you want to do because it's pleasing to you but not to the Lord. Go ahead and gamble with your life and see where it gets you. Tell you what, I guarantee if I give someone $1,000 and you go to the casino, you're going to come back broke. It is not designed to give you money. It is the deception of the world. It's the deception of the devil to pull you in, to rob and destroy you. That's what it's designed for. People say, oh, I won money at the casino. No, you didn't. You spent more money than you'll ever win, so you never won a dime. Okay? Someone says, well, you need to win the lottery. Well, buy me a ticket because I ain't spending my money on it. So if anybody in this room thinks that I should win the lottery, when you start handing me tickets, I might have a chance to win. But I ain't using my money to do it, because my money has to go into the gospel of Jesus Christ, which brings life. I can see the results of my investment. And whatever I invest in, guess what? It will come back. It will bring life. I don't invest in things in the world because they bring death. I'm not a child of darkness. I'm a child of the light. And I like my lights on in my house. I don't care about the power bill. Dawn comes over for dinner, start turning my lights off. What are you doing? I'm a child of light. Leave my lights on. I can afford the power bill. Okay? She was raised by her parents, said, you leave a room, turn the light off. I leave them all on. I turn them off when I go to bed. I'm a child of the light. I'm a child of the King. I'm called according to His purpose, according to the things He has for me. Okay? I've been given authority. To what? To go out and witness, to go out and tell people how good my God is. That's what that says. That's what that says. Go out and tell people how good your God is. Go out and tell them how good I am. That's how you witness. That's why you're called to witness. You're called to share your testimony. You're called to tell people how good God is. What did God do for you? I know He delivered me from drugs and alcohol like that. Now, I know everybody doesn't get totally delivered at the same time. I understand that. Sometimes people need a little more work because they're more stubborn. They don't want to give up on the things of the world. Huh, Ezekiel? He knows. So I can pick on a few people because I've known you so long. We can either hang on to things of the world and then delay all the stuff God has for us, or we can just give it up and walk and trust in Christ and let Christ change us, and then God does a greater thing in us. But we have the authority to make the decision. We have the authority to tell people how good Christ is. We have the authority to be called a son or a daughter of God. He says that you are joint heirs with me. I don't know but you, but when He tells me I'm a joint heir with Him, that means there's nothing that He doesn't possess I don't have access to. That's right. My grandkids have access to my house. They are joint heirs with me. They have access to come into my house and to cook some food and to do some laundry and to sleep in the bed and to leave their stuff on the bathroom counter. Huh, Jocelyn? They're joint heirs of mine. When they come in my house, they don't have to say, Papa, can I have something to drink? They don't have to say, Papa, can I do this? No, they're joint heirs with me. They have a right to that because of they're my grandchild. They're my son. They're my daughter. You see where I'm going with this? You're joint heirs with Christ. Use what He has for you. Tell people about what He does for you and let God start changing the people around you because you're telling Him how good you are. Go out and tell somebody about the gospel. Be the witness you're called to be. Do it in love, and people will receive it. I've never once ever had anybody ever, when I've shared my testimony of something God's done in my life, ever, I've never had anybody ever look at me and go, don't ever tell me that again. Don't ever talk to me like that again. Never. No one's ever said that to me. You know why? Because it brings hope and it helps them to grow to where they start to see God in a way that's not being promoted in the world. They actually start believing that God is real. God can change this situation. So, let's all stand. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. So what I'm going to do today, I kind of felt this in my spirit this morning, is I'm just going to pray for every person in this room that God would give you a refreshed anointing so that you will have boldness to share your testimony with the people that you meet this week. Doesn't matter who it is. It could be the mailman. Could be someone at the grocery store. Could be someone walking down the street. Could be your neighbor. Could be a relative. Could be a friend. I'm going to pray that God will open that opportunity for you this week and give you the power and the anointing to speak forth what he's already done in you, and that you can plant that seed for that next person can start to realize that how good God is. Amen? Father God, I just thank you for this day, and I thank you for your word. Lord, every person in this room here today, Lord, needs more power. They need to understand the power that they possess. There's some in this room that know that power. They've walked in that power. They've experienced that power. But there's others in this room, Lord, that still are hanging on to the doubt. And I rebuke that doubt in their minds in Jesus' name. And I ask today, Lord God, that you will set them free in that way of thinking, that you will change their mind to be open to the gospel, that their testimony, the things you've already done in their heart, the things they know is true, that you will bring those to light to them, that they can encourage other people around them just by telling them what you already did for them, that they'll use their testimony as a tool to lead people to you, that they will be able to plant those seeds that will change somebody else's life. Lord, they might not see the change today, but Lord, once that seed is planted, it will change. And we claim that seed that is planted as good seed on fertile ground, Lord, and that you will water and nurture it till it comes to fruition and produces fruit. Let us be an extension of you in what we do this week, Lord. Let us have the mindset of Christ. Let us go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go out and tell someone how good your God is.